International FFA, and welcome back to my podcast, Cage and Blue. Today I'm here with Mr. Joshua Bledsoe from NCFFA, and we are going to talk about life as a state FFA advisor. So for those first-time listeners, I'm Keely Harding. I'm the host of this amazing podcast, and I am a student. I'm currently a junior in Wake County, North Carolina, and I serve as my chapter's vice president, and I'm going to let Mr. Bledsoe introduce himself.
Hello, everyone. I'm Josh Bledsoe. I serve as the state FFA advisor and the state agricultural education leader for North Carolina. It's an honor to be with y'all.
Yes. So just to kind of start things off, Mr. Bledsoe, if you could give a brief introduction as your role as the NCFFA advisor.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Keely. I actually started as a student in ag education and FFA several years ago and got my degree in ag education, was a high school agriculture teacher, and have been on state and national FFA staff since 2001. And so currently, as the state leader for ag education and state FFA advisor, I lead a team. There's a total of 8 of us that we provide service and leadership to teachers and students across the state of North Carolina. And we do it all from curriculum to our FFA camp at White Lake, to working with amazing students across the state with career development events and leadership programs, work with our alumni group to make sure that we can provide resources to support them that then support local programs and local FFA chapters. And we get to work with fantastic agriculture teachers across the state and work with our NCATA, North Carolina Ag Teachers Association, to make sure we're providing the right professional development and resources and help so teachers are successful as well. And then we get to do all that while we work with great partners across the state who believe in agricultural education and the students that wear the blue and gold jackets.
I really like that last part about the blue and gold jackets, because those obviously are a staple. I have blue and gold on right now. Kind of bouncing off that, if you had to choose, right? If you had to choose one favorite part about your role, what would it be?
Now, Keely, that's a hard question to answer. that there's one particular thing that I like. If I could narrow it down to one, I think the thing I enjoy most is working with the people in agricultural education. Whether that's a student, when I see, you know, that moment when the light bulb goes off and they grasp a concept or some knowledge, or they see some success happen, whether that's in a classroom or on a state convention stage. I love that interaction when students see the impact of what they're doing and what they're learning. And likewise, that interaction with teachers, when you get to work with teachers and you see their success, whether it's in their classrooms or in front of their peers at our summer conference, or as they're doing great things to help support the profession. Just that interaction with people, I think, is what makes ag education so great and makes my role wonderfully fulfilling.
Right. Okay. So how did you become involved in FFA as a whole? And then after FFA, become involved in agricultural education at the collegiate and professional levels?
So as a freshman in high school, I got my schedule and it said intro to ag, and I was placed in an ag class. So I did not sign up for agriculture. I'm one generation removed from the farm. My grandparents on both sides farmed some. In fact, my grandpa had honeybees and he had cattle. And so I didn't grow up on a farm myself. But once I got into my agriculture class with Mr. Donald Vestal, my ag teacher, he made all the difference in the world in my life and obviously in the trajectory of my career. And right. So once I got involved in ag education class, I saw all of the FFA banners and plaques, and the other peers in my class start talking about this FFA thing. And I went to the first meeting one evening and just got engaged. Thought, let me give it a try. I'm new to this high school thing and I want to be a part of something. And it seemed like it was really cool. And I remember getting my first FFA jacket in the fall of my freshman year. I will always remember that cardboard box when it came in. And it had still, like it does today, FFA jacket stamped on the cardboard box. I love that. And you're like, oh, yeah, maybe this is mine. And so it came in, and that's how I got started in FFA. Got really engaged in my local chapter. Never was the chapter president. I was chapter vice president. was involved in the Federation, was Federation president for 2 years, and then was a regional officer, was involved in several career development events like dairy judging, parliamentary procedure, Tool ID. Tool ID is where I got my start. So going to that first convention in Tool ID was really cool. That's where I set my sights to think, hey, I think I might could go to NC State one day. This seems like a pretty cool place. And so kind of a full circle moment for me, Keely, if you'll allow me to share it, is that
my first
career development event was Tool ID. And now as the state FFA advisor, I run that event every year at the state convention. So it's really cool to have been a part of that event and now lead it for the entire state. So that's how I got my start. That was the trajectory, again, that I was on. And then, you know, now in my professional career, I knew as a high school student working with my ag teacher, I wanted to be involved in agriculture in some way. Mm-hmm. And he said, why not be an ag teacher? So I was fortunate to get a teaching fellow scholarship, went to NC State University. And so that was my professional entry into ag education and got my master's degree here from NC State University as well. And have had my entire professional career involved in ag education in FFA. And now 30 years in ag
education. Super cool. Yes. And I really liked how you mentioned how you were kind of just thrown into an ag class your freshman year of high school and really made the best of it, because I can relate to that. When we were signing up for classes in middle school, I didn't want to take art. I didn't want to take anything musically related. So that left me with carpentry, which I don't like carpentry. And it was agriscience application. So I was like, okay, well, let's give this a shot. And then in turn, we have an agribusiness academy at Heritage. And I got an email in my little Outlook inbox one day kind of inviting me to join that and put an application. So I applied to that. I got in, and we do a really cool thing at Heritage where all of the rising freshmen in May of their eighth grade year get to come to our banquet and they get their little academy business pin. That happened to me, and I had no clue FFA was. When they started doing opening ceremony, I actually looked to my dad and I was like, this is a cult. I think we need to leave right now. I was terrified of what was happening. And then over the summer, I had came to animal teams, green teams. We have academy orientation where all the academy freshmen get to meet each other, mingle, meet the officers, meet your teachers, and kind of get a tour around the school. So that definitely made me feel a little more confident coming into high school, because going from a little middle school in Wake Forest to Heritage High School in Wake Forest, there's definitely a big change. Sure. And I think, yeah, having those people that I already knew beforehand and these wonderful agricultural teachers who I know have my back no matter what already definitely was a big benefit to kind of, I think, my whole high school career, definitely.
Sure. I would agree. I think that sense of community family. I've often heard of and seen folks type FFAMILY, family together.
Yes.
But I think that whole sense of community and family, where it gave me a place to belong as a student in high school. Like you said, like I went from elementary to high school. We didn't even have a middle school when I came through school, but it gave me a place to be and belong, and people who. And again, I was introduced to agriculture. So, I mean, I knew it, but I wasn't involved with it daily. And so it piqued my interest. And when you think about the very foundational occupation of the world, I've said it 100 million times, the very first job on this earth was a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think the cool part is that there are 255 plus careers that support production ag. So I saw a place for me to go in agriculture, whether I was going to be on the farm or help supporting on the farm activities. And it piqued my interest and I got excited as a student.
Yeah. And every day there are kids that we see in school who they are in FFA and we're trying to get them to join. And the main thing that us as officers and us as FFA members say is you eat, sleep, and breathe agriculture. Those clothes you're wearing right now came from cotton that's grown on a farm. The bed you're laying in, the mattress you're sleeping on, the food you're eating every day, healthy or not healthy, comes from farmers and agriculture, which I just find super cool. I had no clue that that was fact coming into my first ag class in high school. So I think learning that definitely kind of gives you a bird's eye view on the earth and everything it takes to keep us humans alive.
You're right. Well said.
Yeah. Yes.
Well
And
said.
then, so for our next part, as part of your job is advising the state officers, as we know, there is a huge team that helps support NCFFA is one of the largest states with FFA in the nation. So first, what is it like advising the NCFFA state officer team?
Well, every state officer team is such a cool group of young people and just talented leaders who have a real heart to give back to their peers, FFA members. And so
Yes.
I think one of the coolest parts, I'll go back to the first question when you said, "What's the one of the best parts of being the advisors, of being the advisor?" And I said, "It's students, working with students and teachers." Well, specifically working with state officers is really neat. And you're right, there's a whole team, our state FFA coordinator, our regional coordinators, curriculum coordinator, all of us on the state staff team work with our state officers. I think the cool thing for me is when you see the students elected in June at our state convention, and then you see their growth throughout the entire year as they have experiences that they've never had before. And then when they get to their state convention to conduct it and then retire, for me, seeing that growth in them is really fulfilling. And I appreciate the relationships that, I get to develop with state FFA officers. I think it's neat that I'll always treasure the relationship that I had with our state FFA advisor when I was a state officer in 91, 92. That's 1991, 92.
Yeah.
Mr. Keels will forever be an icon in my mind. He developed a relationship with us as state officers, and I hope that that's something that I'm doing today, and I enjoy getting to know those six young folks who represent our FFA membership.
Yes.
It's a great group of students.
It is. It truly is. And coming from a member standpoint, I think North Carolina FFA does a really amazing job of getting the state officers to connect with the members. They, instead of being like this celebrity that everybody looks at, they're more personable. So the weeks at FFA camp when, we're playing volleyball and then, oh, Lindsay Hofstra hops in. It's like, oh, hey, girl. And then whenever we're going to the ag tours around a chapter meeting and Eleanor Zone hops in the background, I'm like, oh, I know you, and we have something that we can connect on as a deeper level.
You're right. And I tell state officers, hey, the only difference between you and any other member is, wait a minute, let's stop. There is no difference.
Right.
You're the same. Because you're paying FFA membership dues or part of an affiliate structure, you're all FFA members. The only difference is what's stitched on the back of your jacket. But you're still
Right.
wearing a jacket. You still got your name on the jacket. You still got North Carolina on it. And so you're just in a different place to serve, not a better place, just a different place. Because all of the parts and components work together for an association to be effective, from the chapter to the, in our state, federation, region, state, and then to the national level. Not one level can happen without the other. I do think, though, the most important level is in the heart of what we do in FFA, Keeley, is at the Heritage FFA chapter. It's at Liberty
Yeah.
Local FFA
Yes.
chapter. That's where those experiences really happen. You engage with an ag teacher who loves the profession, that loves agriculture, who loves students. And then I think as you go above that chapter level, our job is just to continue to provide life-changing experiences that maybe the chapter can't do. But there's also things that the chapter provides that we can't do at the state level. So
Definitely.
it all works together.
Yes, and it also kind of coming from an outside of you and as an officer, getting access to all of these like mega conference, state conference, and having those workshops led by past state officers and people in the shoes that you want to get to one day is very beneficial coming from a member standpoint, just because you learn so much that you can take home to your chapter and then serve the members there as an officer. It's super cool to see how something that is taught at a workshop truly comes back to help you serve the other members of your chapter.
That's great to hear. That's what we're aiming to
Yes.
do. So I'm glad to hear it happen.
Yes. And then, so my second question is, what are some key responsibilities that you and your team have when working with the state officers? Because I know it is a little different, obviously, than chapter officers and their agricultural educators.
Yeah, so when officers are first elected, we provide a lot of training, and we work with National FFA, who also provides a good amount of training for state officers. So we do a lot of onboarding and leadership development. We make sure that we can develop their public speaking skills, whether that's facilitating a workshop or whether it's delivering a speech. So we do a lot of that work with them. We also will work with our foundation representatives here at NC State University and provide opportunities for our state officers to get engaged with the ag industry and to do some partner visits and to grow and expand their knowledge of agriculture, not only in North Carolina, but across the nation. We've got great partners here like Farm Bureau and Farm Credit and many others who really pour into our state officer team and provide, again, life-changing and leadership experiences for them. So there's a lot of training at the front end, and then I can tell you that they meet weekly with our state FFA coordinator, and that development continues. So pretty much like a chapter officer, there's a cadence of meeting and there's planning that goes into effect like before the national convention. The state officers are getting all the delegate topics and issues discussed and formalizing what they think is important to represent our state. And then you go to Mega Conference, which is our big spring leadership conference, and then state convention, and we've got Discovery Camp coming up here shortly. All of that planning happens, and we do that with our state officers to make sure that they're ready to then pour back into the members who attend those events. So it's a continual process. And then along the way, oh, we might run over to Howling Cow here on campus, ice cream, and again, build those relationships as well.
And then kind of tying in to what you're talking about the preparation, what is kind of in a broad way, what is your steps of preparation for state convention?
Well, I can tell you, as a staff team, we've already started. We
Wow.
basically, once the state convention ends, we do a debrief and we start planning for the next year. And so we're already working toward that as a team. For the state officers and for our team, when it gets springtime, after our busy career development event and leadership season, as you know, Keely, here in North Carolina, we're really busy in March. And then April is still fairly busy, but by March and April, the state officers are very much weekly engaged in state convention planning. And then there's a lot of work around our career development events. So all of our staff, you know, we have multiple career and leadership development events at state convention. We're working on those as early as right now to get resources and people and materials and things lined up to make those quality events for our members. But I can tell you that when April comes and then May comes, pretty much from May and June, it's
It's all state
150
convention.
And it takes not only our staff, we have so many wonderful volunteers that help us deliver state convention, from the judges to our alumni, our state alumni council, our partners at our universities across the state, our partners who support us that come to the expo. So many help us deliver this great Super Bowl Daytona 500, big grand event that we call the state convention, where we welcome over 4,000 people to the state convention. So it certainly takes a village to pull off this grand event. And I'm thankful for everybody that makes that happen.
And definitely coming from an officer and a member who hasn't quite gotten to the collegiate level yet, it's truly amazing to see all of those people wearing their blue jackets together. There is a moment during the last one general session where everyone was at the front kind of line dancing and hooting and hollering, and I kind of just sat there and I took it all in, and it literally brought me to tears because I was like, this, like, I am now some a part of something that is truly bigger than me. It's kind of one of those things you think about and you have to stop thinking about it just because it baffles you and it takes you aback. So definitely state convention is an amazing opportunity for anyone to go to, FFA or not. introducing yourself to all of those professionals at the expo and getting to take part of leadership workshops with people from the professional community. It's really amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. And we continue to try and expand our number of exhibitors in our expo, our number of workshops that we offer. Again, just trying to make sure that we provide real quality, engaging experiences for our members. Because ultimately, the 71,000 young people who are enrolled in ag education in this state and our almost 49,000 FFA members across the state, you are the talent pipeline for our state's number one industry, and that's agriculture. So as much as we can engage you and bring in the industries for you to interact with them and for them to interact with you, the better you're prepared to then make that difference, as we say in our mission statement, right? To make that positive difference
Right.
in the lives of students.
Yes. And then kind of hopping from topic to topic, we are now on the topic of White Lake, which is truly one of my favorite places to be
Me too.
over the summer and during the school year. If we have an event as a chapter that we're going to White Lake, no matter what, I will sign up just because I don't even care what we're doing. I just love being at White Lake. So for you, Mr. Bledsoe, what is your role of White Lake during kind of any officer leadership development event?
Yeah, I think when you say FFA in North Carolina, two things come to mind, Keely. It's the iconic blue corduroy jacket that we get to wear, and then it's the FFA camp at White Lake. I think
Yes,
that's the top
yes.
two when you think about FFA in our state. So my role for the FFA Center is to really operate it year round. And right now we have a big construction project happening to build our new lodge at the camp. And so all of those business operations of owning and operating the camp and the property that falls on my shoulders to lead. And then again, our team helps me with that, from paying the bills to covering the groups there to providing great customer service. We have a team then that does that. When it comes to the camping program, any kind of leadership program, we have a camp staff that we employ during the summertime to be on site for our camping program. If we have like our discovery camp or wildlife camp, our state officers, our state staff, and we bring in other groups and professionals to help deliver that content. So my role is to be there and support and be present. At times, I'll present a workshop, like at wildlife camp.
Yes.
I did a workshop during
Yes.
state leadership conference. I'll do a workshop every now and then. When we have teacher professional development at the FFA camp at White Lake. I host, do a workshop. You might find me in the kitchen cooking sausage and biscuits for
Right.
breakfast. You never know. So I think that's the cool part. I get to do lots of different things at camp, and it's really cool to see how, for me as an FFA member, my first year there ever was 1988 as a camper. And now to be able to see the camp grow and expand and have new facilities for our campers and for our guests is really fulfilling. And I think it's one of the best FFA camps. It's the best FFA camp. So sorry, other folks from
Yes.
other states. I've seen many FFA camps. They're all wonderful, but gosh, I'm partial to White Lake. And we had a camp director and his wife there one time, and they always called it paradise. They'd say, "Welcome to paradise, folks." And so
Oh.
I think it is just a little snippet of paradise, Kaylee, every time we get to go to White
Yeah.
Lake.
Yes. And one thing that I love about White Lake is how versatile it is. It's not just somewhere where you're going to go for summer camp. It's not just somewhere where you're going to go sleep in the bunks. You're going to go and you're going to learn. Maybe you're there for FFA camp to compete against other chapters. Maybe you're there for wildlife camp in September to learn everything there is about the outdoors.
Right.
Maybe you're there for you're a freshman in college, and maybe you're there to learn about other agricultural educators that are in the same boots as you. But there's one thing that you said, and it stuck with me for a while. I believe this was my first time ever at FFA camp at White Lake. And you said something along the lines of, if these trees could talk, the stories they tell. And every time I go there and I look at those trees, that's all I think about. And you're pulling into the nice concrete paths, getting ready to park your bus, and you lay your eyes on the beautiful trees in the lake. And every time that happens, I just start thinking about all the times I've had looking at those exact same trees. So when I pulled in for wildlife camp this year in se or last year in September, I thought back to the two FFA camps I'd gone to there, the cleanup we did with Sydney Wichard and Haley in 2023, and then all the other times that it gets brought up in conversation, my mind immediately goes back to that is my White Lake. That is my FFA camp that I hold so dearly and closely to my heart.
You're right, Keely, and it is your camp. It is the members' camp, and wow, I'm really humbled that you remembered
Yeah.
that statement. Well, and I do remember sharing that. I've shared it many times. If those old trees could talk, they'd tell a lot of stories.
Yeah.
Those trees have seen a lot of students develop a lot of dreams and dream a lot of dreams, develop a lot of plans, I should say,
Right.
and dream a lot of dreams. They've seen ag teachers share resources. They've seen a lot of ice cream being eaten. They've heard a lot of,
Yes.
they've heard a lot of the Pledge of Allegiance being said in the morning and the Star Spangled Banner being played. I think that sense of citizenship and patriotism and all the leadership that happens there and the camaraderie that's built, it is a special, special place. And to think that it's the second oldest FFA camp in the nation and that agriculture teachers rented that land for the very first year, and then saw the great success of the program that they bought the land the next year. That, I think, is an incredible story and such a rich history of how that property has shaped and molded so many young people. It's really humbling to think about it, Kaylee, that we continue that legacy today. And it looks different than it did in
Right.
1988, and it looked
Yes.
different in 1988 than it looked in 1928. And I hope it continues to look better and have more things for our students. But what happens there is still magical. And the core of
Yes.
what we do there may, how we do it changes, but what we do doesn't. Still developing young people. And that's
Right.
just a really cool thing to continue.
It is. And I think being at the FFA Center at White Lake and just being in the presence of the buildings and the rickety bunks that you almost fall off of every night at FFA
All
camp.
right, now we got new bunks now, Keely.
And then I see when I went to White Lake for the first time, it was a couple kids from my chapter in Sydney and Haley in 2023 for a cleanup. And it was March. It was still pretty cold outside. We were by the little putt-putt course, bring trees down. And all I could think about when my bus pulled out of that lot is I cannot wait to go back. And everyone, all of the upperclassmen I talked to, I'm pretty sure they were playing a joke, but they were like, yeah, like the rooms you stay in don't have air conditioning. And I was like, okay, I really don't care. Like, it gets to a point where you love something and you enjoy going somewhere so much, it could change a thousand times and you wouldn't care. And I think for that, for me, that place is White Lake.
Cool. And
Yes.
I hope we always have that. And I'm thankful that we've been able to improve the facilities. So like our new tiers that came this past year
Yes.
with the new lodge that's currently being built, and then we'll have a new educational center to accommodate more meeting space. So we want this to be a place where students continue to come and not only just grow their leadership, but we also want to provide more content camps. Like you mentioned, wildlife camp, we have that. Our discovery camp for middle schoolers to really explore all the options in agriculture. We've got plans. Our board of directors has asked us to look at additional content camps where we can jump more into the content of agriculture and make sure we're using that space to prepare students for careers in ag.
Right. And I think that's truly an amazing thing. So for our last little segment, some advice in closing for the members listening. If you had one piece of advice you could give to any member in FFA, what would you give them?
That's another hard question, Keely.
Yeah.
One piece of advice. I've got a whole page of
Right.
things that I share with state officers. Wow, so many. Well, if I could give every member one piece of advice, it's got to be always stay green and growing. There was a gentleman named Ray Kroc who You may have seen the movie The Founder. He franchised McDonald's, and that's his saying, so I want to give him credit, to always stay green and growing. It was, when you're green, you're growing, and when you're ripe, you rot. So I think as leaders, as young leaders, or even those of us who might have a few years on us,
right.
We always stay green and growing, and remember that we should be learners, and we should always be students of leadership. A mentor of mine once told me, and he just texted me this past week, and he showed this quote that was in his planner, "Leaders are readers." So I think we need to continue to grow ourselves. And when we grow ourselves and we become better individuals, it makes the world around us better individuals. We can't always point our fingers and blame it on somebody else. We have to step up. And I think
it
empowers us to be green and growing and to always to leave things a little bit better than we found them. And you can't do that if you're not green and growing. It's kind of like a bucket. Mm-hmm. If your bucket's empty, you can't pour anything.
Right.
If your bucket's empty to start with and you fill it with good stuff, you're green, you're growing, you fill that bucket, then you can pour into others. And when you pour into others, guess what? There's room in your bucket to learn more. So keep green, keep growing, keep pouring into yourself, and then pour into other people. And I think if I could give one piece of advice, it would be to always stay green and growing and be students of leadership.
Yes, and I think you can even take that from an outside of FFA agriculture kind of eyesight from it. And it kind of ties into, the minute you stop learning, you're done, you know?
Exactly.
You need to spend your life learning and then serving the people that need to learn what you have already learned. And I think that understanding that as a human is, I think, one of the most important things, just to, you know, keep the world a good place and help the people that come after you, help them serve the world once your time is done.
Keely, that is so rich what you just said. You're so right. And you know, what you said sparked another thought, is that we can learn all of this, but it's no good until you share it. You know, my grandpa told me he had world book encyclopedias on the shelf in his house. And he said, "Josh, you can know all of the information in those books, but if you can't share it with other people, if you can't relate with others, all that knowledge means nothing." Yeah, our ability to share it, which reminds me of one thing that I would also say that's important, especially today, and that is to, wherever you are, be there.
Definitely be present in the moment.
Yes, wherever you are, be there. The most important person you can talk to is the person that's in front of you right now. It's the people that you're with. And there's so many distractions in the world today, but those moments when we get to spend with people and being present is so, so important. And being present, I mean, you can't share and grow unless you are present, and you can't pour into other people unless you are present. So, gosh, I snuck in an extra one there, Keely. Be green and growing and to be present. I think that's huge things. So thanks for letting me.
Of course. And and I really like being present, because it's almost step one of life is be present in the moment. You know, you could be a toddler, but then if your mind's running around thinking about dinner and you're at the park, you don't get to enjoy the time at the park with your friends. Okay, you're a teenager, a member in your FFA chapter, and, you know, you're thinking about what you want for dinner instead of taking the leadership skills you learn at the chapter meeting and embracing them fully. Okay, you're an agriculture teacher. You know, you've had a really bad day. All you want to do is go lay in bed. If you aren't present, you don't get to share what you've learned from past years to your students. So I think being present in the moment is kind of square one.
Keely, you're spot on. I think you might be the next state FFA advisor.
Yeah.
You might need to say the owl's part, sharing that wisdom and knowledge from time to time. That's excellent. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I would agree.
And so I think that kind of wraps up everything we have for y'all today. Mr. Bledsoe, if you have any final words for them?
I would just offer in everything you do with that green and growing and being present, just keep leading and keep serving and keep growing. And thanks for being a part of the world's best youth organization, and that's FFA. And I hope I get to meet a lot of you one of these days.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to thank all of our listeners today, from California to North Carolina, up to Florida and down to Maine. So thank you for listening. I have one episode out that I interviewed Sydney Wichard, where we talked about her life in FFA and after FFA. So if you want to go listen to that, I would greatly appreciate it. Have an amazing day, and go be the future leaders of agriculture.